Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
We rejoice today that we move into this new season of Trinity Tide, and we again have seen how God loves us by the gift of his Son. And now we are to receive his love and learn how to fulfill the commandment of God to love one another. Last week we had the opportunity on Trinity Sunday to look at how God is our peace. We see that God is a triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and that in him there is perfect unity, concord, and peace. God is a God of peace, and we see that he gives us a great invitation, that he will invite us into his divine life, that we too might have peace. And so this is something we also learn through Trinity Tide, is how we can be at peace, how we can be receive the peace of God, how we can dwell in that peace that passes understanding. When I was in high school, I had the great opportunity to travel to Portugal on an American Field Service exchange year, AFS. I lived with a family that in Sintra, Portugal, and I learned the word saudade, which is a Portuguese word, an idiomatic expression that we can understand as being one of longing for the past, especially for that which has been lost. And so the Portuguese, this really makes a part of the ethos of their culture. In modern times, it has the resonance of a country that has lost an empire. Once one of Europe's great powers, one of the richest countries at times, the richest country in the world, that is gone now. And so you have a hearkening back to a golden age. But it's not just that. It's also when you are missing someone terribly, someone who has died, maybe you're a friend or your companion, your spouse is far away, you have saudades. You wish they were with you. And so there's a yearning, a longing for them. That is a type of melancholy and sadness in the human heart. This is saudade. And that is something that we can all, I think, identify with, because for each of us, we live in a human race where something has been lost. Each one of us are members of a human race which has lost paradise. Now, in paradise, there was peace. God created Adam and Eve in his image. He created them, the God of peace created them in his image. And he created them for love, that they would be in communion with him. And to be in union with God is to be in peace. And there was peace in that place. Peace between man and God as Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day. Peace between the man and the woman, the first husband and first wife who were together as one flesh. There was peace there. They were together in their marriage. There was peace in the garden, as it was a plentiful place where the trees were in fruit. They could have of any fruit in the tree of the garden, except the one that God had forbidden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There was peace in that place. And you have a sense of Adam and Eve being content. They themselves are at peace. But into that peaceful place comes the disruptor. The tempter comes, and Adam and Eve, instead of obeying God, which is to love him, that is a spiritual principle. If you love God, obey his commandments. And there's no commandment that God gives us that will hurt us. It's always to our blessing. If you love God, obey his commandments. But instead of obeying God in regard to that tree forbidden them, they believed a counter-authority. The devil who said to Eve when she declared to him, yes, if we touch or take of that tree, we will surely die. No, you won't. God knows in the day you eat of it, you should become wise. You should become as gods. And they believed him instead of God. And as soon as they disobeyed God by following that counter-authority and believing the lie that they would become as God, but without God, then came the cataclysmic disruption. A catastrophe unfolds. And we see that now there is no longer peace in the place. Mankind is not at peace with God anymore. There is no peace for the wicked. And we see that those who have disobeyed God will have come upon them that penalty which God had promised. Remember, O man, that dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. So death enters the world by the sin of Adam, and he is no longer at peace. Existentially, he now knows that he will perish. And there is angels at the gate of paradise after Adam and Eve are expelled to guard the way with flaming sword that they eat not of the tree of life. There's no longer peace between God and man, and no longer peace between the man and his wife, between Adam and Eve. That's broken now. We see Adam do this stupid blame shift, right? This woman you gave me, she gave me of the fruit, and I did eat. Well, that's not love. And we see that right there is the beginning of the war between the sexes, right there. And now there's no peace between Adam and Eve. We also see that man is not at peace within himself. That too is broken. Where is Adam when God comes back in the cool of the day after he has betrayed him? Well, he's hiding. Why is he hiding? He's ashamed because he saw that he was naked. And God, when he speaks to him, could say, Adam, who told you that you were naked? As if to say, you've been naked all the time. Right? This is nothing new. But there is a shift now, because now Adam and Eve are not even comfortable in their own skin. They're not at peace within themselves. And this is something that we too can taste and that we know. Every time that our own, better self argues with our lesser self. Like, why did you eat the whole thing? I don't know. I just felt like I had to. No, but I mean the whole thing. Because I wanted to. I mean, this contest that we have within ourselves. St. Paul remarks upon this. Why do I do the things that I hate? There is also, we see now, enmity between man and creation. Adam and Eve, who were to steward God's garden, now they are expelled from the garden, and the earth does not bring forth fruit in the same way. Instead, it brings forth thorn and briar, and man will eat his bread in the sweat of his face. So, this is now the legacy that we have. We have lost paradise, and now there is no peace in this place. And into that shipwreck comes the Lord Jesus, the heaven-sent messenger of peace. The Christ himself will reconcile man to God and God to man. He is the great peacemaker, and through Christ, we now can have access to the Father. We are now at one with the Father through Christ. That great redemption that has been won is God's answer to man's existential crisis of not being in peace. He brings peace through the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, even while we were sinners. Here in his love, that God sent his only Son to be the propitiation for our sins, that he would take our penalty and reconcile us to God. That is a gift of grace. Peace to us now through Christ, the great peacemaker. And we see that through Christ, now there is a reconciliation possible between man and woman. We see it in the crystalline form of the beauty of Christian marriage. When it's lived out correctly, we see that love transcends the war between the sexes. We see a unity that God has ordained, that these two should become one flesh, that their union be blessed. And we can see the very root of that in the Christ-alike example of love, in the admonition of Paul that husbands love their wives as Christ loved the church. If you want to see a marriage healed, look for a man that is willing to love his wife with self-sacrificial love, to lay down his life for her, to be willing to die for her. That is the ground of Christian marriage, self-sacrificial love. We see also that there would be peace there in marriage if there was that kind of love. We also see the opportunity for man to be at peace with himself. Look for the saints and see those who are at peace. At peace with God, at peace with themselves. His peace flowing like a river through them, where they now are messengers of peace, ambassadors of peace, where they are at peace, where thousands around them are saved, where the land is healed, and where even the wild beasts are tamed, We see this in the lives of the saints. Those who live a saintly life, we see peace coming. We also can see that there is a friendship between those who truly love God, a friendship between them and creation. Because now begins the regeneration of the entire cosmic order. And God is establishing that first in us, the human race, of which Christ is now the new head, the new Adam. And then through us, the rest of creation, which groans and travails and waits until our redemption. But even now we can see glimpses of that new heavens and new earth when man is steward of the earth, when people take care of God's creation. We can see the love for that instead of the despoilation that comes when people just simply try to juice it for whatever they can gain in their greedy hearts. So that is already happening for those who can love God by loving his creation. That peace is already coming. So we see that in Trinitytide, that gift given to us of God who is peace, bringing us now into a place of peace with him, within our relationships, with ourselves, and with the earth, with his creation. I came back to Portugal about 15 years, maybe 20 years after I had been there on a foreign exchange, 20 years. And this time I had the opportunity to meet the husband of one of the host sisters that I had. She was married now with children. Her husband's name is Salvador. It's a hard name to live up to, Savior. And I was talking to him about the word saudade, this yearning for what has been lost. And he said, well, to truly understand it, you have to know that in it is hope. And I said, how can there be hope in saudade? You've lost something. It's gone. He said, no, even to recognize what you lost springs up in the heart that you'll have it again. And this is where we are. As Christians who are in the in-between time of those who bear a mortal body stung by which has been lost by our first parents, and yet within us, Christ's indestructible life living in that which will one day be completely and fully restored, we await the coming age when peace will flourish and there will be no discord, no disharmony, no disruption. We await that and yearn for it and hope for it. We are those who understand that paradise has been lost, but in Christ that heaven has been won. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.